It's December the 30th. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. Coming to you live this morning from my office in our basement in our home here in Shawnee, Kansas. So glad to have you with us. So we got to do the countdown now. Not really much counting to do. There's today and there's tomorrow. And we will have come to the end of the book of Revelation. And then 2 days from now, we start again in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. And that's exciting, I think, to get to the end of the Bible and just say, hey, we're going to do it again. So thrilled to have you with us. It's been a long journey, hasn't it? And I've told you before that there are, I don't know the exact number of words in the Bible. It's around 750,000 words in the Bible. And by God's grace, we will have read them all together by the time we get to the end tomorrow. I think if I had known in the beginning what a challenge this would be, I'm not saying I wouldn't do it, but maybe I would have thought about it a little bit more because, you know, you get in the lowlands. I just mean if climbing the mountain and you see the mountain of God's revelation, it's easy to feel like you really can't do it. And, you know, on my own, I don't think I could, but Ebenezer, hitherto, the Lord has helped us. And so thank you. Thank you to everybody that we're coming today to the near the end of our second year of Bible reading. By the way, please tell us where you are. It's been fun this week to get all the updates from all the different states. I did notice that yesterday we had new folks joining us from two other countries hadn't heard from recently, a friend from Nigeria, and then someone from Malaysia. Now, yesterday, I just said off the cuff, is there anybody from Kansas? And, you know, over the couple of years we've been doing this, have heard very, very, very rarely from the state of Kansas. And I saw the Renee checking in from Kansas, and she's been listening all year long. Hi, Renee. Thank you. And then somebody else said, this is Lonnie from Mound Ridge, Kansas, have been listening to your reading the past year. What a blessing. And then Elaine says, now just back to other folks, praise the Lord for what you do. Watching from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. That's a long way away from Shawnee, Kansas. Someone else says, watching 7:30 p.m. last night, Phelan, Phelan, I guess how you say that, in California. And someone else said, thanks for all you do. I'm anxiously waiting to start 2025 on the Bible bus. You only have to wait two more days. And my buddy Ron, his wife Wanda, folks we knew from the church in Oak Park, and I think you said they're living down in Florida. Now, well, hi, Ron. Hi, Wanda. Great to have you with us. Now, here's the thing. Today, Revelation 19 and 20. Think about this. We have gone through the book of Revelation. We've read about the opening of the seals. We've read about the sounding of the trumpets. Yesterday, when we've read about the Antichrist and the two witnesses, and I admit, a lot of stuff I'm just passing over because this is Bible reading with just a little bit of commentary added. And I should say, I tried to tell you this, that I have 23 hours of Bible teaching on the book of Revelation. There are 22 chapters and an hour roughly for each chapter. And then a 23rd hour for your questions and answers. Go to keepbelieving.com, click on video, and then just scroll down to the Revelation series. And I got to tell you, just since yesterday, I found out that the new version, listen carefully to what I'm going to say, it's been uploaded onto YouTube, but it's not yet live. It'll be live in a few days, maybe in a week or so, something like that. It's the same teaching from 4 years ago, exactly the same, but with added graphics and with some caption abilities for Spanish and for Mandarin, that's Chinese. And a brand new, we've never had a study guide for the book of Revelation. That's all about to be added. So stay tuned, folks. That's coming very, very soon. So we've been talking about the book of Revelation. We've covered now through the first 18 chapters. So today, just two chapters. What happens next? Revelation 19, the return of Christ. Revelation chapter 20, the coming 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, and the great white throne judgment. Let's pray together. Father, these truths that we're going to see today, they're so awesome. They are so mind-blowing. Only you could do this. Lord, we've been waiting. We're still waiting for the Lord Jesus to return from heaven. We believe it won't be long now. Pray, Father, open our eyes, joy, faith, confidence that Jesus is coming again to set things right. Help us to be faithful until that day comes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I remember Revelation 1 verse 3. This is the only book in the Bible to which a specific promise of blessing is attached. And I told you when we started reading this a few days ago, Satan hates this book. And I guarantee you, he does. He hates the book of Revelation. So if you start reading it and studying it, you should understand things may get worse. I mean, you will face satanic attack because Satan, he hates this book because he hates the end of this book. So there is a blessing. We're hoping for that. We're believing for that. Remember the outline, chapter 1, the past, chapters 2 and 3, the church age, that's the present, chapters 4 through 22, that is the future. And we've already talked about the seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls, the importance of the number 7. Here we go. Ready? Revelation chapter 19. After this, I heard something like the loud voice of a vast multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation, glory, and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous, because he has judged the notorious prostitute who corrupted the earth with her sexual immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his servants that was on her hands." A second time they said, "Hallelujah! Her smoke ascends forever and ever." Then the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who is seated on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." A voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all his servants and the ones who fear him, both small and great." Then I heard something like the voice of a vast multitude, like the sound of cascading waters, and like the rumbling of loud thunder saying, "Hallelujah, because our Lord God the Almighty reigns. Let us be glad, rejoice, and give him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has prepared herself. She was given fine linen to wear, bright and pure, for the fine linen represents the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb." He also said to me, "These words of God are true." Then I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you, of your brothers and sisters who hold firmly to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Then I saw heaven open, and there was a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True, and with justice he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a fiery flame, and many crowns were on his head. He had a name written that no one knows except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies that were in heaven followed him on white horses, wearing pure white linen. A sharp sword came from his mouth so that he might strike the nations with it. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will also trample the winepress of the fierce anger of God, the Almighty. And he has a name written on his robe and on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he called out in a loud voice, saying to all the birds flying high overhead, "Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of military commanders, the flesh of the mighty, the flesh of horses and of their riders, and the flesh of everyone, both free and slave, small and great." Then I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and against his army. But the beast was taken prisoner, and along with it, the false prophet who had performed the signs in its presence. He deceived those who accepted the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image with these signs. Both of them were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. The rest were killed with the sword that came from the mouth of the rider on the horse. And all the birds ate their fill of their flesh. That's Revelation 19. Now, Revelation 20. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key to the abyss and a great chain in his hand. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss, closed it, and put a seal on it so that he would no longer deceive the nations until the 1,000 years were completed. After that, he must be released for a short time. Then I saw thrones and people seated on them who were given authority to judge. I saw also the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and who had not accepted the mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the seas. They came up across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the encampment of the saints, the beloved city. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed them. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and one seated on it. Earth and heaven fled from his presence, and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. Then the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Each one was judged according to their works. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Two points I want to make. Point number one is that chapter 19 makes it clear Jesus returns in a time of war, Armageddon, the Antichrist, leading the kings of the earth, gathered to the Jezreel Valley, Armageddon, the final great battle at the end of the tribulation period. It's the Antichrist making his move, and at the very moment when the Antichrist makes his final move, and the, I suppose, armies of hundreds of millions of men nuclear warheads and their intercontinental ballistic missiles and their satellites and their death rays and all their advanced technology, all of them gathered together following the Antichrist in the final great battle. Jesus returns from heaven and all the saints are with him. It's one of the reasons why, by the way, I believe in the rapture happens before the tribulation. We have to be taken up before the tribulation so that at the end we can come back with the Lord in his victorious triumph. You may say, what will that final battle be like? Read 2 Thessalonians. Jesus is going to open his mouth. You know, Revelation 19 says that he's got it's a sword coming out of his mouth. That's to show the power of his word. Jesus will destroy his enemies by the breath of his mouth. He will say the word and the Antichrist goes down. He will say the word and the false prophet goes down. He will say the word and the kings who have gathered with the false prophet and the Antichrist to fight against the Lord Jesus Christ, they will go down. That's the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's not like there's a protracted battle. Jesus speaks the word and the battle is over, and the battlefield is covered with the corpses of those soldiers and those kings and those rulers who thought they didn't need the Lord. You know, sometimes when we talk about the second coming of Christ, we talk about it as, well, you know, the Bible does call it a blessed hope, and it is the blessed hope, but that's not really the emphasis here in Revelation 19. Now, tomorrow, we're going to get to the other side of it, but today, I mean, yes, the coming of Christ is a blessed hope, and the dead in Christ will be raised at the rapture, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the Lord to meet the Lord in the air. We'll be changed in a moment. That's a wonderful thought. But understand that when Jesus comes back to the earth, his enemies will be defeated. The Lord is going to set everything right. And by the way, go back and read the book of Daniel. Read Daniel 2. The stone hits the bottom of the statue and shatters all human kingdoms. And read Daniel chapter 7. The throne is set up and one like the Son of Man. And just like that, that little horn who is the Antichrist, he goes down. And read Daniel chapter 9. And just like that, the Antichrist, he comes to a sudden end. I'm saying the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, they are just like this. So number one, Jesus returns in a time of war. Number two, let me say something about that great white throne judgment. I think this is the most solemn verse in all the Bible. Great white throne is set up, and the unsaved dead, they are arrayed before the throne. And they come back from the sea, and they come back from the grave, and they come back. It says death and Hades give up. Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each one was judged according to their works. And the end of it is, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. It says, the books are going to be opened. You know, accountants, back in the old day, pre-computer days, accountants kept books. They kept ledgers. You've seen pictures and, you know, the filing cabinets, and back 150 years ago, that you've seen the old timey pictures and drawings of the accountants with their ledgers like this, recording all the transactions of a business. The books are going to be open. God's keeping books of everything you've ever said and everything you've ever done and every wild thought and every vain imagination and every evil thought. Can you imagine? Francis Schaeffer said, think of it this way. Imagine that a baby is born and that an invisible tape recorder is put around the neck of that baby at the moment of birth, and God pushes the record button, and that invisible tape recorder records all the thoughts, all the words, all the deeds, all the plans, all the intentions, all the good, the bad, the happy, the sad, the positive, the negative, every evil thought and every evil imagination, all of it's recorded, the good, the bad, all of it's on that tape recorder. And God doesn't hit the stop button until that baby has grown up and lived and finally dies. Just imagine then standing before the Lord. The Lord said, listen to this. And he pushes the play button. And from the moment of birth to the moment of death, you stand before the Lord. And what an appalling record that is for you and me. Listen to me. If I stand before the Lord, if you stand before the Lord and he plays that tape recorder, you are not going to make it into heaven, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do not say to yourself, my good deeds are going to outweigh my bad deeds. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? Do you know what's on that tape recorder? Do you know what's in the books? Do not trust in some supposed goodness to get you into heaven. You got to get your name book, the book of the life of the Lamb. Get yourself into the book of life. Make sure your name, how do you say, Pastor Ray, how in the world do I get my name? Well, in the book of life, let me say it to you this way. No one goes to hell by mistake. That's good news, really. No one's going to wake up in hell after they die who doesn't deserve to be there. The only people in hell are going to be the people who deserve to be there. But on the other hand, no one goes to heaven by accident. Some people say arrogantly, justice, Lord, give me justice. Give me what I deserve. Oh, don't you ever say that to God. If God gives you what you deserve, you will end up in hell forever. That's why in Luke 18, in the story of the publican and the Pharisee, the sinner and the Pharisee, he cried out. He didn't say, God, give me justice. He cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So I say here at the end, get your name in the book. Get your name in the book. You say, Pastor Ray, I've been to church. That's good. Get your name in the book. Pastor Ray, I walked out. Happy for you. Get your name in the book. Pastor Ray, I signed a card. Get your name in the book. Pastor Ray, I raised my hand. I prayed the prayer. Get your name in the book. Pastor Ray, I was baptized. Get your name in the book. Look, I've baptized a whole bunch of people in my ministry. I baptized some of the people watching this video. Let me tell you something. When I baptize you, I can hold you down so long that you'll come up singing Amazing Grace, but that will not get you to heaven. Get your name in the book. I gave money. I was a missionary. I was a preacher. I was a deacon. I was an elder. I taught Sunday school. I am happy for you. Get your name in the book. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. It's grace and grace alone. Listen to me, friends. If you make it to heaven, it'll not be because you walked an aisle, raised your hand, prayed a prayer, got baptized, went to church, gave money, was a missionary, did all the good stuff, kept the Ten Commandments. If you go to heaven, it's because you put your trust in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead for you. So let me say to you here, almost to the end of the year, run, 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 my friend, run to the cross. Lay hold of the dying form of the Son of God. Put your trust in Jesus, who loved you and died for you and rose from the dead. Your only hope of heaven. My hope is built on nothing less than what? Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. So, my friends, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Is your name in the book? Is your name in the book? If so, the coming of Christ will be a blessed hope for you. But I got a question for you. What will the end be if your name is not in the book? You know what I want to do? I want to go to heaven and I want to take my wife with me. I want to take my kids with me. I want to take my grandkids with me. I want to take my friends and my neighbors and my acquaintances. I want to take as many people to heaven with me as possible. So then let's go out today with joy in our hearts here on the next to the last New Year's Eve. Let's go out New Year's Eve and be thankful to God for all of his blessings. Let me tell you, the best thing you can do today is to give your heart to Jesus Christ, to trust in him completely. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Put your life into the hands of the Lord Jesus. Trust him. And 10,000 times 10,000 years from now, you'll still be glad you did. Well, that's the Bible reading for today. Go out with a smile on your face and a song in your heart and joy. Go out and be glad and look at the world around you. If your name is in the book, do what you can to get your friends to put their name in the book too. Okay, come back. One last stop. We are one step away from the peak, from the top. Last stop tomorrow, Revelation 21 and 22. And we will come to the end of our Bible reading. So we pray, Lord Jesus, please help us open the eyes of our heart. Oh God, help us to know that you are coming soon and be ready to see you when you come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. See you back here tomorrow. One more day on the Bible bus. See you then.